Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wall. And tonight, our special guest is Melissa Bass. She is an expert abuse coach. But before we welcome Melissa to our show, as usual, we have to go through all of our legal rhetoric and a few announcements. So let's get started. As always, the views, statements, and or comments of show guests, callers, or hosts do not necessarily reflect the views or beliefs of the Wall Foundation Incorporated or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. These comments are those of our guests, callers, and hosts alone. Therefore, the Foundation, the Wall Foundation, Inc., and or Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is not party to nor liable for resolutions of issues between show guests, callers, hosts, and or listeners. Okay, so much for that. One quick announcement. The Wall Foundation, Inc. presents Basic Braiding Techniques and Foundations Natural Hair Care Workshop. It's part of our annual fundraiser for spring 2010. These workshops will be held on Monday evenings from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Randallstown Community Center, located at 3505 Resource Drive in Randallstown, Maryland, and they're for ages 8 and up. A registration fee of $10 and class fee is $25 for 4 weeks or $10 per session. You can contact Angela Lewis at 443-983-3853 for more information about that. Now, on to our show. Today, our special guest is Melissa Bass. She is an expert abuse coach and the author of the book, Change is an Inside Job. Again, if you'd like to speak with Melissa this evening, our number is 646-478-4726. And with that said and done, I'd like to welcome Ms. Melissa Bass to our show. Melissa?
Thank you, Maria. Hello, Maria. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. When you initially contacted me, I said, oh, great, an abuse coach, because when I started this project about 2 months ago or so, I knew that there were a lot of people out there who were hurting, including myself and my former co-host and many listeners, both male and female, young and old. And you know, one of the people that I really wanted to have on was an expert. And reading your book, I could relate. And, you know, I just want to jump right into the show. I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to jump right into her book. Again, this is Melissa Bass, and she's the author of the book, Change is an Inside Job. So, Melissa, welcome to our show, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my book, Change is an Inside Job, that came about through many years of living in drama, and it all started from me being raped by a family member when I was 4 years old. Because of that incident, it left me feeling like I wasn't worthy, like I wasn't valuable, and it made me feel like inside I was dirty. So through my childhood, through my teenage years, and most of my adulthood, that's what I always felt. So when I became an adult and got involved in relationships, I always chose relationships with guys who mirrored that same message to me, that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't valuable, and that I was dirty inside. And each of those relationships had some form of abuse in them, whether it was sexual, physical, or emotional. And it wasn't until when I went within myself and done my healing work that I was able to realize and see that those feelings and expressions that I thought about myself was just me needing to heal myself from within, and it wasn't really what someone else thought about me. And from that, I wrote the book because I wanted other people who had went through any type of abuse to know that they could go within, do the healing work, and then go out and live a good, empowered life.
Yeah, I understand that wholeheartedly. And, you know, so many of our listeners at this point, you know, I tend to hear more comments and people will come into the chat room and talk because they're still afraid to have their voices heard on air. Some people have said, you know, if a family member hears what I have to say, you know, it'll hurt that family member. But, you know, this show is about us working through our hurt and sharing how we manage to heal from it. I'd like to jump right into some excerpts from your book, actually. One of the first things that I noticed in the book was, I believe it's on page 2, where you had written, I could actually feel the pain, feel the abuse, and smell the pain and abuse. And that particular, the last few words, to smell the pain and abuse, really stuck out in my mind. And I know what it means for me, but could you elaborate more on the smelling of the pain? Because for me, when I read that, I was like, wow, you know, that's something that I never really gave much credence to, but I said, you know what, she's right. You not only feel it, but it's the scent in the air, and it's like that smell of some type of a creeping death. That's for me. Now, you know, I'd like to know from you, did you experience the same thing, or was that something different for you?
Yes, it was experiencing the same thing. It was actually like I was experiencing that same event all over again, as if I was a 4-year-old girl. So all the smell that went with it, the disgust that went with it, you know, the pain and the hurt, it's like it was a combination of all of that that I could feel and smell as I was going through my healing.
Yeah, that's the part, you know, when you have that day of remembrance, we tend to, everything comes back and is very vivid. And it wasn't until, you know, I had to experience, you know, I've always been that rock and the go-to or the come-to person when others had problems. And then when I became a statistic, because I don't like to say when I became a victim, but when I became a part of the system and a statistic, it gave me a different perspective on things. And over the past few weeks or months that I've been doing this show, again, in your book, you had brought up another point where you had said you would subconsciously make sure that you were involved with someone who had more issues than you thought that you had. And for a lot of our listeners out there, I know that they may not admit to it, but me being the person listening to them, I can hear that that's exactly what they're doing. They're continuing the vicious cycle, and they somehow, if they have someone who they feel is, you know, in a worse state than they are, some way that helps them to validate their decision to stay as they are. Is that about accurate for you as well?
That is accurate. That is correct. And it's like, you know, if you involved with someone who you think have more issues than you, or either who you think need fixing more than you do, then that takes away the spotlight from you. You don't have to look at your own stuff. You don't have to heal your own stuff because you're so, you know, busy saying, well, this person needs me. This person needs to be fixed. So it just keeps the stuff that's inside, yeah, it keeps it there. It keeps you numb and just dealing with the other person versus just dealing with the person you really need to deal with, which is yourself.
Right. Again, for our listeners, we're here with Melissa Bass, the author of Change is an Inside Job. She is an expert abuse coach. If you'd like to speak with Melissa, number 646 478-4726. And this is Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. I'm your host, Maria Wong, and this is our special one-on-one segment with Melissa Bass. And once again, Melissa, I loved reading your book because you touched on so many things that I think so many of our listeners and callers need to hear. One of the sections is where you were speaking about going back to one of your ex-lovers, and you had spoken at one point about, you know, you had written about the fact that were you willing to accept it, knowing that this man was out there with other women other than you, and he was not going to commit to just you. I think that a lot of people, now for me, I guess this is me asking you as an expert at this, for me, you know, so many people recently have said, you know, because I'm going through a very nasty divorce, and my attorney said, you know, just lay low and play the good wife and wait for this to run its course, because we're going through it based on adultery. And it's coming to a head now because the papers are signed and he'll be getting served finally. But so many people have tried to convince me that because for whatever reason, I don't argue, I don't fight with him, the police don't stay at my house 24/7. They are under the impression that I should try to stay with this abusive individual who's also an adulterer and try to work things out because they don't see the negative side or the violent side. Now, to me, have you witnessed a lot of that where a lot of times friends and family will try to influence the individuals to stay in something because we, as the person being abused, have not gotten we haven't gotten violent, and for some reason it seems to be the norm that the outside world needs to see violence to get validity to the fact that there's something wrong.
Right, and then that's what it is. The outside world don't really truly know what you're going through in your home. They don't know the feeling of having to walk on eggshells. They don't know the feelings of being afraid of saying the wrong word. You know, you may be physically abused by saying the wrong word. They don't know the feeling of being, feel like you're nothing because this person is choosing some other person over you, that it's an important day for you, but this person is still choosing to be with someone else. You know, they don't know a lot of that stuff. They just know what the act that we may portray to the public. So that's why sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, you should just say, you know, it can't be that bad, or, you know, there's a shortage of men, so having, you know, a man that's halfway good is better than not having, you know, no man at all. You know, those are all things that they say, but it's different when you have to actually live through that yourself. Then you can see things from a different light.
Right. And another, through my callers and my own personal experiences, that a lot of times people don't understand that there are things going on that we're not readily able to or comfortable with sharing with anyone. And, you know, some people tend to feel like they're being left out or slighted because we're not communicating with them. But in reality, that's not the case at all. It's just that, you know, this is a healing process, and this is a process where we have to figure it out sometimes within ourselves and for ourselves to make it work, so to speak, where we can communicate it, even to a professional, much less to, you know, someone who may be judgmental or prejudge. Do you find that as a hindrance with most of the people that you tend to help, that people are putting unrealistic expectations on them to open up and just say whatever's going on when it's not that easy, you know, of a thing to do?
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said. You know, sometimes it's a challenge within ourselves to deal with within ourselves first. That takes some work, and that is a process. And you can be going to a counselor, you can be going to a coach, but you're just not at that point you know, because of the shame, you know, it's like you can't even believe yourself some of the stuff that you are allowing or accepting in a relationship. So to voice that to someone else, it is very difficult.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of, you know, what I'm going through is more when you speak about it, you feel dirty and you feel shameful. And, you know, it's hard to make people around you understand that, but and not take it personal that you're not able to talk. And sometimes you just need somebody to just sit on the corner with you and feel the breeze blowing across your face as opposed to talking about whatever it is. And I know that you have certain techniques and processes that you've developed to help those of us going through something to work through it. And I'd like for you to touch base on some of the initial things that we could do to work through this, the shame. And I guess right now we can talk about working through the shame aspect of it all.
You know, and one of the processes that I use to work through the shame, and it's called the index cards. And what you do is the three main negative words that keep on coming up in your mind over and over again, those are the words you write down on the index card. You know, and it's not like you have to sit and think for a while what those words are, because we all know what our main negative words are. So you write them down on the index card, and you carry that index card with you. And when you see those, when you feel those words are coming up, you know, you face those words. You just look at your words as you wrote down on an index card. You know, you just let them be with you for a minute. You let that feeling be there. And then you say, no, I'm not, like my three main words is not worthy, not valuable, and not enough. So you look at those words and you face them. You say, I would say, Melissa, you know, I am a worthy person. I am a valuable person. I am enough just as I am. And I'll tell my words, I'll see you next time when you decide to show up. And I know it's when, you know, I'm going to be making a breakthrough or standing in my own power, because that's when those words usually have a tendency to show up. And those are my three main words that I've always been, as long as I can remember, those are my three shameful words. You know, that I always felt ashamed to let anyone know that I even felt that way about myself. So as those words come up, you keep on repeating that exercise. And it's a small exercise, but it's very powerful, because essentially you take the power away from those words that you've been given to those words. So now when those words come up, they just come up and I can say the positives and be done. Where before, when they would come up, when I'm trying to express myself, saying, you know you this, you know you're not, you know you're not that, deep in my stomach, I wasn't even believing myself as I was saying I wasn't this and I wasn't that. But now it's at a point where I know it and I believe it. So I can say it, and it's not coming deep from within my core that I'm feeling that. It's just still on the surface, because those are just my three negative words that have, you know, been with me for a while.
Right. And that's a good point. I have so many words. Is it basically cut down to the three words, or for someone like me, I could think of maybe 27 words. Should we start at the main words and then work our way backwards? Take care of three at a time, or, you know, because not everyone is just going to pick just those three. Some people may have a whole list of words that, you know, if it's gone on for such a long time, the negativity and the words tend to add to the list and change. One day I could feel unworthy. Next day I could feel total shame. One day I could feel disgust. One day I could be angry, you know, to the point of being, you know, not angry like humans are, but mad like an animal. You know, so it's, do we make different sets of cards, or should we just take the three major ones that really gnaw at us on any given day, and then, or every day, do they change?
Right, I would take the three major ones that you know, we know ourselves within, and it's like those three main words that no matter what other words may come up now and then, these are those three main words that just stays with us. And the thing about it is if you take the power away from those words, you'll have a tendency to where the, some of those other words will just fall along the wayside also.
Right. Oh, yeah, that does make sense. Going back to your book, I think it was page 29, you said, one thing that I have realized is that people may buy fancy cars and big homes to give the outside world the impression that they have it all, that they have it going on, when really they're feeling empty and unworthy inside. I believe that that in itself is twofold as well. I think that through my experience in doing this show is that so many of our listeners and callers, well, our callers have shown a pattern of sometimes they gravitate towards people who have the fancy homes and fancy cars with the expectation somehow that being with someone who has all of that to offer them will make things better, when in essence, this is my opinion, that sometimes that person that's able to give them everything without them having anything to bring to the table as well is more of an enabler than someone who is in their life for a positive aspect. This isn't saying that everyone is that way, but I have spoken with so many women, especially who were in abusive relationships, but the man provides them with a car and a nice home and a white picket fence, and they tend to stay because of the material aspects of it. And do you find that to be a major problem that you have witnessed and experienced in your line of work?
I do, and that is why they say, you know, they're looking for someone else to give them what they feel like they're missing within. And also that's why sometimes they won't tell of all the abuse that's going on, because they don't want to give up that lifestyle, because sometimes they didn't got really comfortable with that lifestyle, and then just don't see having a happy, powerful life, even without all that material stuff. So it keeps them, a lot of times, it do keep them in that situation longer than necessary.
And I think that so many times, a lot of people need to understand that anything that's worth having, you have to really work hard for. And if they're not willing to do that, then they're going to continue to be in those types of situations.
Right, and some people are not ready to do the work that it takes.
And
to change the lifestyle.
And how does one? I always say it's the process of just taking that leap of faith and putting one foot in front of the other. But I'm sure that you could get into more details as to how someone would actually prepare, I guess we could say prepare, for their rebirth or their day of, you know, reckoning for the bad relationship and coming into, you know, the light of a new day. Are there specific steps that we can go to prepare ourselves for that leap into the unknown?
Well, the person's got to be, first and foremost, they got to be ready within. They got to be ready to make that commitment to themselves. They got to be ready to make that commitment that, you know, I'm willing to give up any and everything so that I can have true inner peace and true inner healing.
And then once, are there any steps that we could take to, I guess, help us not want to look backward or go back? you know, to keep moving forward.
Right, and that's the steps of going within and dealing with your stuff, the things that have kept you high in drama relationships. That's got to go within. Once you go within and do that healing work, you're not going to want to be in an abusive relationship anymore. You're not going to settle for this anything anymore, because you are going to love and value yourself. And that's, you know, whether you go, you know, through a coach or counseling, you know, the churches sometimes have different programs, counseling programs. It's just, you know, talking, going through that stuff, the things that you've been ashamed to tell people, the things you've been ashamed to face, that's what you got to face to heal, so you don't want to go back to that type of lifestyle.
Right. I know through my experience through the cell, we've had some people who continuously fall into the same vicious cycle, and no matter what advice they're given or what they say or what anyone says, they fight against it. They have reasons why they don't want to take the advice, or they don't listen. And, you know, over and over again, we hear the same story of, you know, different actors, same play.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the type of person that after a while, I guess it's more like the boy who cried wolf, where, you know, after a while, people don't want to hear it anymore because it becomes old and tired. And no one wants to keep offering advice or giving ways out to people who, you know, will make up an excuse of why they want to continue to be abused. What type of person is that who wants to be, obviously they're showing signs of they would prefer to continue the cycle of abusive, disrespectful relationships opposed to listening and getting the help to move forward?
Well, they stuck in being a victim. And what it is, you know, I just cannot stress the importance of going within and doing the healing work. And they're just too afraid to do the healing work. They're too afraid to be without that drama, because they're afraid that when they look within it themselves, they're not going to like what they see. So to them, it's safer just to stay in that drama relationship and play the victim.
Wow. And what, I guess, as we as the people who have tried to help these people over and over again, what else is there for us to do? Or is there anything that we can do, or do we need to just not necessarily cut them off, but is it time for us to just shut up and let them talk? Because whatever we say back, they're not listening to. Or is it some other process that we, as the people on the outside trying to help them, could do to help the person in these abusive relationships see the light? Is there something that a process for the people on the outside, family and friends, so to speak, could we do more that we're missing other than being judgmental and cutting them off? Is there something else that you would suggest that we could try to do?
Yeah, I wouldn't cut them off. If they want to be stuck in that victim mentality and continue to tell their story, you know, they can tell their story for a time limit. Give them a time limit. Okay, I'm going to listen to this for 5 minutes. You know, but these are the suggestions and steps we suggested that you take, and they are still here. They're still available for you to take when you want to live a different life. So just start cutting that time that you listen to that story, cut it off. You know, don't continuously listen to it, because that person is, they wrapped up in that, they getting some attention from being the victim.
Right, and that's it. I think that they like the victimology half of it, because it gives them attention, and they
right.
get a lot of attention from playing the victim role over and over again, and they never realize just how old and tired it becomes. And it wears on the people that have to continuously hear it. over and over again. And I like the fact that for those of us who are on the outside, you know, at a certain time, we need to condition ourselves to know when to cut it off.
Right.
And because if these people are adults, and now if they're children, of course, you know, or younger people, that's one thing. But if you're an adult and you're at that point where only you can make the decision to stop being the victim, let me ask you this. Is it possible that some people, this is kind of an offbeat question, but is it possible that these people actually become enticed or excited by the fact that they can get a rise out of people by playing that role, where it doesn't necessarily have to do with any their situation per se anymore? Or they could be sitting home alone every day now, but it's the fact that they know that they can get the sensationalism and the they can get the hype going if they continue to tell these same tired stories over and over again. Is that a possibility that somehow they take their situation and make it, you know, something that they get some type of a bit of a pleasure from?
Right.
Is that,
yes,
you know, normal? I mean, it may not be normal, but, you know, is that something that you see? In other words, is it a normal thing that you come across is what I'm asking, I guess.
Yes, it is. I mean, and that's a normal for some people. That's a normal for some people.
Wow. And I
and,
know
and
that...
Sometimes people just, they don't move past that. They don't move past that because they get their enjoyment in that and they just don't move past it.
And in that particular case, again, you say give them a few minutes and then the person on the outside should know when to just walk away.
Right. And
because
you don't, you know, you're
be.
Not cutting the person off, but, you know, you're just hoping that eventually they'll see that, you know, each time they're telling the story, they're not getting that attention like they used to get. So the excitement will wear off to them because they'll see that they're not getting the results they're trying to get by playing the victim. And hopefully they'll get to the point where they'll say, okay, then it's time for me to get some really help, some real help.
Right. And, you know, it's moving along now from the people on the outside looking in. For those of us who, because of extenuating circumstances, are not able to just up and, you know, totally leave everything that we know and have built for our entire lives. You know, some people, you just cannot up and pack up and run away because there's really no place to actually go where you can stay and find any more peace of mind. You know, you may get out of your home, but then even if I'm not knocking shelters and things, but that's a temporary fix. And then you're in a place where you're very much alone with a lot of strange people, and it's only for a time. So, for instance, in my situation, you know, it's my home. I had this house built. He married into this. Everything I know, everything I've worked for, you know, is with me. And to just up and go. And then, you know, with the court systems the way they are as a married couple, you know, then they could turn the tables and he could say that I abandoned him and be awarded the home that I built, you know, that he has no ties to whatsoever. What are ways that those of us or the listeners who are stuck right now or cannot just up and go, are there ways that we can remain within the environment but also to find some way to maintain our sanity, if that makes sense?
That makes sense because you are correct. Most of us couldn't just up and leave. We had to make a plan and follow a plan. And that part of that plan may be going back to school to, you know, improve your education, to improve the opportunity to attain a better job. So, you know, when you do leave, you'll be able to financially take care of you and your children if there's any children involved. It could also involve going ahead and getting the counseling while you're still in the relationship so that you'll be at a, when you do leave, you are emotionally at a strong point where you not so vulnerable that you could actually get out there and put yourself in a more dangerous situation than you left by being so vulnerable and getting involved with someone else quickly, and someone that could be 10 times worse than the person that you just left.
Right.
So those are two important steps. Also, you know, the finances, you know, putting some money aside the best you can, you know. If it's like maybe having to not buy a pair of shoes or not buy an outfit, but just put that money aside so you're building a savings account for you, so when you do leave, you can be able to take care of yourself financially. If a person is planning on leaving but they have to stay in the situation, they can be looking at different rental properties and things that's available out there so they can have an idea of what type of finances they're going to have when they do leave. They can look at, you know, what it costs for the different deposits for the various utilities that's going to have to be turned on when they get their own place. It's just like just researching everything that you're going to have to do when you live, when you leave and have to live out there on your own for a while. It's doing that research while you're still there in that situation.
Right. And I also have come across the fact that so many people are not willing to give up their material items, meaning, okay, if you're in a bad relationship and you're making your exit plan, you have to give up getting your hair done, getting your nails done. You know, you may have to give up going out to a fancy restaurant once or more a week, you know, to have that meal. You'll have to learn how to stay home, cook, you know, pasta dishes or something simple. Use that to help save the money to be able to get away. Is that something that you find that so many people are not willing to let go of their lifestyle, I guess, or they need that materialistic show for, I guess, society. I'm not too sure who they're trying to impress, but, you know, are they willing, do you see a lot of that where they're not willing to let go? They want to be out, but they don't want to let go of anything to get out.
I do. I see a lot of that, and that is why a lot of people do stay in abusive relationships longer than they should, because they're just not willing. They are caught up in that lifestyle, and they aren't. They're just not willing to give it up. You know, it don't matter what, no matter what they have to go through to stay and keep that lifestyle, they're just not willing to give it up.
And that would make me wonder how serious they are. Does that mean that they're not that serious about leaving, or is it just a misconception that they just don't understand that they're going to have to let something go in order to get the resources that they need to be able to go? You know, I think a lot of people tend to think, okay, they're not willing to let this and that go, then they're not serious about leaving, so they must, once again, and we spoke on this a few weeks ago, they must like being in that abusive relationship. Is that safe to say that that is a grand misconception? They're not there necessarily because they enjoy being in the relationship. It's the fact that they're not ready to let go of everything that they have either been given or work for themselves.
Right, and yeah, and it's not, you know, that they enjoy being in that relationship, as you said. Sometimes it frightens them if that's all they ever known. It frightens them to think of living a different lifestyle. You know, it frightens them to even, you know, think that there is a different lifestyle, you know, that's different than what they're living.
Right. And now, going back to your experience, could you walk us through how Melissa made it through her experience and how Melissa came to be where she is today?
Well, my experience was that for the pretty much each relationship that I was in, I was at the advantage of having the finances to be able to make it on my own to take care of me and my children. But the mentality was, you know, the person had me thinking that, but I couldn't do it. You know, it didn't matter that, you know, I was making more money and that I was paying the bills. it's that way of thinking, that mind game, that control game that the abusers play on you, and have your self-esteem to the point that, you know, you're agreeing, you know, with everything they say, so you know they're right. I cannot make it without them. But it just got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore. And that's when I decided to leave.
Did you have all of that exit plan? And you were pretty much established in your own right already. So you had your own employment and resources where you could walk away, so to speak, or was it more...
I mean,
you know,
I knew about, you know, because I was established, I knew about, you know, paying the bills. I knew about, you know, deposits that companies offer. I had the education, and I just, you know, it was easier for me than it is for most women. But at the same time, mentally, you know, because of the mind game, it wasn't as easy for me, because I kept on thinking, like a lot of women, a lot of people think, that, you know, if you do this or act this way, you know, you will change the person, and the person will, you know, love you more, or, you know, won't abuse you more, and the relationship will be fine. So it was me just getting past that point, you know, to realize that I couldn't change that person. That person was the way that they were, you know, and it took me a while to get past that point before I realized, you know, I had to leave. I couldn't continue to stay in the situation that I was in. Also, because I was raising children, and I was teaching my children I was teaching my daughters what to accept. And I was teaching my son what to do, you know, how to treat a woman. So it eventually got to the point where I had to leave.
Right. And one of the things that I'd like to touch on, because you kind of brought it up a few moments ago, is when people start to, I guess when we start to see those signs of trouble, many times I knew that things were going bad. But again, I'm married. A lot of times people are not in marriages, but I'm married, and I knew that I had to start that process of thinking, he's not going to get any better, even after counseling. Nothing changes. You know, for me, I had to go through the process of weeding out, counseling. Okay, he's gone through that. That didn't work. Nothing's changing. And you have to know when to fold, so to speak. When the economy fell apart and I lost employment and things like that, and, you know, we tried to work it out where he could support me some kind of way financially, but me being the main breadwinner in the family, and he realizing that once I had lost that gave him some sense of control. He did not step up to the plate like a man would, you know, a husband would, and to this day he really has not. But you know, me being a faith-based person, you know, I know that God has a bigger plan for me. And even, you know, when I first started healing through hurt, I started it out of the hurt that I was going through, because I had never had a man in my life, you know, go and sleep with a neighbor that's right in my own backyard physically. You know, if a man is going to cheat, usually they don't go with the next-door neighbor. Or in this case, for those listeners, that she is not the next-door neighbor. We live 8 doors away from one another, actually. But the way that our homes are situated, you can walk out our backyard, walk across a small field, and you're at her front door, you know. And you know, was berating to me, because this is a 44 you know, plus year old woman living with mommy and daddy. And I'm like, what on earth made you want to go with this person? Because he's a contractor, and he was doing work in her parents' house, and they just got together. And, you know, but so many of my associates and friends, they go, well, your husband's good looking. You sure you don't want to stay with him? Do you find that some of the people that you have come across are under that false impression that because something that, you know, all that glitters is not gold? And I have to tell so many of my female friends and associates, if you want him, you can have him, because if you think he's that good looking and you know that he's a piece of trash, then you take it, because I'm not the type of woman who is willing to settle for anything less than, you know, what God and who God intends for me to be with. I'm into the cream of the crop, not the cream of the crap. But so many of my female associates don't understand that. They're like, but he's good looking, and he can do work around the house. And I'm like, okay, well, I can pay any contractor to come in and do work around the house. I don't need him for that. And, you know, to me, because of who he is and the way that he's treated me and what he's done, I don't care how good-looking he is. When I look at him, I don't see that good-looking person, because I know that the person that I fell in love with and married never existed. So in essence, I'm here living with a shell, you know, of something that looked like the person who I thought that he was, but that person doesn't really exist. So do you notice that a lot of women are staying with people because of something other than, you know, the weird part, I guess, is that, you know, like I said, they think that he's good looking, so why would I want to leave him? And I don't get that. I don't understand what looks have to do with anything, but are some women that superficial where they'll stay with someone just because they're eye candy, and that gives them a sense of importance of something when they're out in public and they know that all these other people are gawking at what they have, if that makes sense. Because I'm seeing so much of that, and I personally cannot make any sense out of it.
Right. And I mean, that's the word you took, you know, directly out of my mouth. They are. They're just superficial. And they're not happy themselves. They're not happy themselves. So, you know, they're not worried about anyone else being happy. They just more caught up in that image that they want the world to see, and it's not really a true image of what the relationship is really like.
And that just concerns me greatly, because I have so many women, and for me, I've noticed more so in the last few months, and this may not be an accurate figure, but for me and my personal experience in the last few months, African-American women seem to be more superficial lately and materialistic than any other, you know, ethnicity that I have come across. And I've come across a lot of people. And, you know, and it's sad to say, and for our listeners, again, we're speaking with Melissa Bass. She's an expert abuse coach and the author of Change is an Inside Job. Our number is 646-478-4726. Feel free to call in if you'd like to speak with Melissa this evening. This is my one-on-one time. I'm your host for Healing Through Her Talk Radio, Maria Wall. And I'm here with our new Girl Talk segment, where I'm talking with Melissa about the changes that we have to go through and the steps that we need to take to maintain our sanity while we make that transition from an abusive environment into the light and a more peaceful existence. With that said, Melissa, one thing that I'd like to ask you, because I'm so big on meditation and having that quiet space for myself, I know that you have certain techniques that you've mastered to help with, I guess, relaxation and getting our spirit in order, so to speak. Could you speak a little bit about that to enlighten us on some techniques that we could use to actually lighten our burden, you know, during our daily routine?
Right. A part of my daily routine is I meditate in the morning, and I meditate in the evening before I go to bed. And what that involves for me is just taking that quiet time with myself, just to go within, to listen to my thoughts, listen to my heart, listen to my instinct, you know, to see if there's anything I need to do different for myself, to treat myself better. It also involves doing a gratitude journal. I do that 10 minutes in the morning. I write down for 10 minutes everything that I'm grateful for and the reason why I'm grateful for those things. And then in the nighttime before I go to sleep, I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for that happened that day and the reason why I'm grateful for that. And it could be small things. It could be big things. You know, it could be grateful for being able to see the beautiful green grass, because the more you can focus on the positive, the things that you're grateful for, just the less negative things you'll focus on. And that really helps me stay centered. And I can notice a difference if I, for one day I forget to do it, I notice a difference. I also, in the morning time, I set my intentions for that day. And I'm always set positive intentions for that day. And it just makes my day go better.
Wow, I never, you know, I may get a hot bath and light the candles. And one thing that I've learned how to do for me recently is I always tell people that, do you ever listen to the silence? And most people think, well, if it's silent, then there's nothing to listen to. And I said, yeah, there is. You listen to your inner thoughts. You listen to your heart. You listen to your spirit. And sometimes you can just sit and be still and listen to the smallest thing that you never noticed before. If it's broad daylight and I'm listening, sometimes I can find peace in listening to the sound of a peeper frog or a cricket or something like that. And one of the things that I've decided to do, or I took up because my experience, my expertise, or my profession was been in media, was to go from a film to a talk radio, which is my first love, and now I do photography just to find the simplest things. I don't like to necessarily photograph people. I take a camera and for some people, I suggest that they get a disposable camera or something and take pictures of the beauty around us that's not, you know, human or inanimate objects. I do a lot of flowers and pretty colors and get really, you know, look at all the details on certain flowers that are no bigger than, you know, a fingernail or something like that. You know, do you, for people who... do you recommend, I guess, people finding their niche or their something that they love to do that's new and different, not anything that's part of the old cycle, but something new and different? Do you agree that that's a good way to start fresh when you find something new?
I do agree with that. And there is so much healing. When you find your niche or you find your passion, there's so much healing in that. You find it and you just pour yourself into that. And that's healing within itself just by doing that.
Yeah, and for me it works so greatly. You know, so many people have viewed me as this strong black woman, and I'm doing all of this and I'm into all different types of functions, and I have the nonprofit and this and that, but I guess that you can also attest to the fact that we are professional women, we're strong women, but we're also human. And for some reason, I know that some of my female associates were under the impression that, you know, I want to follow your lead, I don't want to be this and that, and, you know, they get hooked up with all the wrong men because they mimic what they see in other people. And I believe in your book, you had spoken about people who have the fancy homes and things, and they don't realize what's going on, the truth behind all of that, and that the person that they're trying to mimic is just as unhappy in so many cases, not all, but so many times they're equally unhappy, and the relationship could be extremely abusive behind those closed doors. You know, do you find that so many people are actually trying to imitate? You know, they're becoming an imitation of someone else's life. Do you see that that's one of the biggest problems, that they're trying to be something or be with someone who they should not be with for all the wrong reasons, because they want to be with the in crowd, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Have you found that that's another one of those problems that you've come across?
It is a problem because they're trying to mimic something or somebody that's not even happy themselves. They have no idea what a person is going through to keep that style that they're living in, but that's the person they want to be like. And, you know, that's really sad, you know, that, you know, we as a society, we put more value on saying that we have achieved or arrived or have made it by materialistic things.
Right, and that's so sad, and I don't know what else we could do to stress the point that having material items is okay, but having peace of mind and self-respect is priceless.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I'm not too sure I don't know whether you could offer some ideas to make people to realize, I guess, that this is not the way to go. And we need to, I believe, in your book on page, I believe that on one of your pages you said that one thing that you wanted people to take from the book is that page 45, actually, the thing I would hope every person takes from this book is to love you.
Right.
And, again, that's one of those words that I don't believe too many people can grasp. And even me, there's some days when I wake up and I don't love me. I don't even like me. Some days I'm mad at myself because I allowed my weaknesses to come through, and I allowed myself to get to this point where my blood pressure is up and my hair is falling out and my stress level is so high. And I'm blaming myself for all of that. And it may not be, you know, my fault for anything, but I do blame myself. And, you know, I don't know what words of wisdom you could offer, but how do we work past not blaming ourselves? No matter how much I look in the mirror for myself, I don't like the person that I see, because once again, I'm at that point where I look in the mirror and I'm like, well, where am I? Who are you and where am I? And each day is becoming more of a struggle for me. So I don't, you know, are there any words of wisdom you could give to our listeners? And me, of course, because this show is about, you know, us healing through our hurt. And one thing about me is that I'm going through the storm. A lot of times we have people on who weathered the storm, and they can share how they did it. But for me, I'm still going through it, and I don't have all of the answers.
Right. And even after you go through the storm, you still don't have all the answers. Because that going within and loving yourself, it still is a struggle. You know, sometimes you may not struggle as often with that, but it still is a struggle where you have to keep on just reaffirming and giving those positive affirmations to yourself, you know, that you are a worthy person. And one of the things that when I was really deep into my darkness, that I would do was, I had posters all over my bathroom wall of all the positive things that I were, just to remind myself, especially those days when I was afraid to even look in the mirror, to look in my eyes, because I didn't love myself. So those words helped me to feel better about myself, helped me to make it through my day a lot of times. Another thing that I did was I wrote love letters to myself. And on those days when I really felt bad or really didn't love myself, I just took a letter out and read it. And that helped me a lot.
Well, I never thought to sit down and actually talk to myself. And, you know, I it brought back one thing of one of my former co-hosts here. She had done a segment. She wrote poetry to help work through her problems, and I believe that she had written a letter to herself. I think she had written it to her younger self to try to make the little girl inside of her understand what was coming down the pike and how to deal with it, which I thought was interesting in itself. I never thought to sit down to take time, I guess, and write out anything to myself. Because I think that if I did it right now, it would probably be, you idiot. You know, you shouldn't have done this. Even though I followed all the steps and things, you know, did the background checks and things like that, but when you have someone with such a common name and you find out that the court system is flawed and that they do cross records and have people's things all wrong, and you could wind up, you know, thinking, hey, this guy is great, when then down the road after the fact you get a file that says, oops, we made a mistake, wrong information, blah, 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 which is what happened to me. Because had I known everything that I know now, naturally I would not have had that Cinderella wedding and married this total, you know, stranger. Do you find that when you're trying to help some people, I find this interesting opposition when it's women against women? It's like, what can you possibly tell me? I'm like, okay, well, you're being abused by a man several times over, and I'm here to help you, but you don't want to listen to me because I'm like you. And do you find sometimes that there's this wall that we put around ourselves as women where we don't want to uplift and support each other?
Yeah, I do find that. And what I do sometimes, especially when a woman don't want to see or feel like she's being abused, what I do is have her just take, if she have children, have her take her children or either another close family member, aunt, a cousin, and just put that behavior with that person and imagine that happening to that person and see what they consider that abuse. And a lot of times, you know, they will say yes. So, you know, then the question would be, so why do you think that you are less deserving and less worthy than that other person? You know, the same thing is happening to you. So it's still abuse.
Do you find that that there's a trend now of younger females in these vicious cycles, or do you see that it's pretty much Is it more of the middle age to older women? Or I know that when the show first started, we had a lot of young people calling in, a lot of young people, 18, 19 years old, who have gone through it already in their life. Are you finding that you have a lot of younger people? And if so, what is some of the suggestions that you're offering to some of our young listeners, because we do have a few, and tomorrow I'll get all of these emails of people who listen to the show, and they'll say, well, I wanted to know this and I wanted to know that, so don't be surprised if I have you come back on, and I'll be reading a lot of questions, because this is a show where so many people like to sit back in the corners and just listen, and then they'll either call me or send me emails after the fact to get their questions answered or say what's on their mind, because this is a process where we're still here to try to help people to open up. So have you noticed that there's more young people in need of your assistance? And if so, what advice do you have for them?
I have, and some of that is because it's generational. They're repeating what they saw the father or the mother go through or do. And then it's also because of the media, how the media is portraying how a person, you know, how a man is supposed to treat a woman. Some of our younger generation, they're getting caught up in that. And, you know, they're saying, well, if this movie star, you know, on this video is happening and it's okay, so then it's okay for me. For this person to treat me like that. But it's not. It's not okay at all. And, you know, one of the things that I find that helps is it's like peer group sessions where you have these teenagers or these young adult women come in and they just talking, and they just going around the room sharing their story. Well, this one person may hear the story and, you know, oh, you know, that's awful, that's, you know, horrible, you know, why would you go through that? Why would you put yourself through that? You know, you're too beautiful, you're too smart. Well, then when is that person's turn, they saying the similar story. So it's like just getting them to wake them up and realize that they are in these situations consciously. Sometimes they're not even realizing just how bad it is until they're with their group of peers and just going around the room bringing it to light.
And that's that. You hit on one thing that we had a show about a few weeks ago. It's the fact that the media, videos and things are showing our young people that, especially our young ladies, that what do they call them? Video vixens, or you're a whore, and you're no good, and you're no this, and then to come home and see it within the home, you know, that's all that they know. And I guess it's a process of deprogramming them more so than teaching them, because at this point they have to be deprogrammed to understand that, you know, this is what I was born into, this is what I've been shown all of my life, this must be true, and it's not. And, again, that takes that leap of faith, and it'll be a bit of culture shock for them to come into the real world and figure out, what? You know, you mean to tell me that that's not it? And it's one of those, no, you know, you're not meant to be a whore and a slut and a bitch or whatever. You know, you're not meant to be that. And you shouldn't be treated as such. Again, that's another show within itself, the aspects of media on the influence that they have over our young people. But now you're an abuse coach. Do you happen to work with males and females, or is your area just strictly limited to females?
Yeah, it's strictly limited to females.
Okay. And this is in no way is saying that we don't recognize the fact that there are some men out there that go through this as well. But each person, each week, of course, we have our guests tell their story, their way. And again, for all of the gentlemen who tend to listen in, we do recognize that not all gentlemen are abusers, and there are some of you that have been abused. We do recognize that, and we do not try to belittle that effect or berate it in any way, because we do understand that, and as the weeks come, we will have one guest for that. But this evening, we're here with a one-on-one with Ms. Melissa Bass, author of Change is an Inside Job. She's an expert abuse coach. If you want to take that leap of faith and give Melissa a call, our number is 646-478-4726. And Melissa, before I forget, could you tell our listeners where they could pick up a copy of your book? Because I personally think that you broke it down into very layman terms where people will be able to understand. You're not using all these big medical terms where, you know, people won't understand, or it'll be a turnoff for them, because people tend to shy away from that medical thing where they feel like, you know, here's this degree person telling me this, that, and the other. You broke it down where it's almost like I got a letter from a good friend, and I can read it and relate to it and feel like, wow, you know, we're sitting here on this front stoop just having girl talk time. And that's what I got from the book, was that you did make it so it makes people want to read it, because it's written, you know, that well where, you know, people can understand it.
Well, thank you for that, Maria. Thank you for saying that. And I'm actually glad that's the impression you got of the book, because that's where I wanted the book to have that impression, where anybody can relate and can understand and start their inner healing journey. So I thank you for saying that. And you can go to my website. My website is www.changeoftheinsidejob.com, and you can purchase a copy of the book through the website.
And I would encourage everyone to go to www.changeoftheinsidejob.com and order a copy of Melissa Bass's book. It is great reading. It's made for you. I'm not going to say that she wrote it for me. I'm going to say that when you get your copy, you're going to read it and say, hey, you know what? She didn't write it for Maria. She wrote this to me, because the book is written where each reader will feel like Melissa sat down and said, hey, I'm going to write this to Karen or to Tyra or to Melissa or Karen or anybody. It's written where you'll feel like she wrote it for you, to you. And I enjoyed it a lot, very much so. And, of course, keep me posted if you writing another one or what you're doing. When we tour, we're taking Healing Through Hurt on tour. We'd love to come to your town and visit you. I'd like to see all of my guests. I'm going to visit all of their towns so we can get together and further this work, because what you do is helping so many people and reaching out to so many people. And we know now that this show has crossed the oceans, and we're now being heard in other countries. So, you know, we have done so much, and we know that our job is reaching far and wide, and we have so much left to do. And it's because of people like you who write the books and who are willing to tell your story and learn from it and help others come through it that all of this is possible. And I want to thank you for doing what you do and for writing your book, Change is an Inside Job, because it really is. And, you know, we do have to come together to help heal across the board here. And, but I just want to thank you for taking time out to visit with us here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio, because I knew that when I started this dream, it was, you know, for selfish reasons, I guess, to a degree, because I've always been that person to be there for everyone. And when I left regular corporate America and started the nonprofit, and then I knew that I had to find new venues to get the word out to more and more people, I've come to this, but it's because of people like you that I'm able to heal through my hurt. And in doing so, and you having enough faith in me and my show to come on and speak about your book and your story and your life and share the information, that in itself, I appreciate that, because you're helping me to help so many, you know, hundreds of thousands of people out there. And I want to thank you as well. And we're coming down to our last 15 minutes or so. Again, our number is 646-478-4726. We're here with Ms. Melissa Bass. She is an expert abuse coach and author of Change is an Inside Job, a book that is written for you. So, again, Melissa, if you could give out your website again, so that our listeners can visit your website and get a copy of your book.
It's www.changeisaninsidejob.com.
And Melissa is very accessible. So it's not like you're going to have to go through 27,000 channels just to get to Melissa. If you write to her, she does respond back. And you will hear that friendly voice or get that friendly note from someone who has your interest at heart, genuinely. So please support Melissa and get the book, Change is an Inside Job. Because, again, as I stated, you will feel as though the book is written for you. By now, last few minutes, Melissa, could you give us some, a recap of certain things that we can do, first and foremost, what we can do to help us make our situations that we can't get out of, our current situations, more bearable, and how to keep our sanity within negative environment.
The daily routines that I mentioned earlier is very important. The morning and evening meditation, the 10 minutes in the morning of writing the gratitude journal of things that you're grateful for and the reason why. In the evening time, write down the 5 things that you're grateful for that happened to you for that day and the reason why, and start each day with setting your intentions for that day and make sure there are positive intentions that you set for that day. The love letters, writing the love letters to yourself. These are things that you may want someone else to say to you. Don't wait for them to say that to them, say to you. You say it to yourself. You write it to yourself. And when you're not feeling that great about yourself, you pull those letters out and read over them. And just those positive words that you wrote to yourself will make you feel better about yourself, will help your day go by better. And those are just some of the things that you can do. The index card, that's a powerful exercise that I recommend everyone do that right away. Start carrying those 3 main negative words around with you and just face them, because my philosophy is that you cannot heal what you're not willing to face. So face those 3 main negative words and take the power away from those words so that you can live a more empowered and free life.
And it is okay for us to take our time. When we know when we're ready to speak about our hurts and our pains, it's okay for us to hold it until we're ready to let it go. Is that not correct?
That is correct. And only the person will know when they're ready, not based on no one else's schedule, but only when you are ready, you can tell your story and release that pain. And you can start the healing process only when you're ready.
And, of course, it is okay for those of us on the outside looking in. It's okay for us to know when to cut off those people who enjoy being a career victim, so to speak. So it's okay for us to know when to let it go. And not necessarily turn our backs on them, but it's okay for us to know when to shut that off before. Because let me ask you this. Is it not true that, you know, sometimes if we hear it so much, we can actually take on that burden within ourselves and it'll start to affect us as well, as even more so, I guess, than the person who's the career victim. So does it sometimes happen where it comes on to us as well?
I've heard that. I mean, I've even heard that it could make a person sick. So you listen to that negativity over and over again, and you feel like helpless and hopeless because you cannot do anything about it to help that person, and you can actually make yourself sick trying to think of ways to help that person solve their problem or their issue when they got to do it themselves. No one can do it for them.
Right, and I do believe that, you know, we have, in my experience, even with doing this, you know, we've come across some people who just over and over again don't want to listen and continue to tell the same tired stories, and people get tired of it, and, you know, and then the vicious cycle starts to grow because you know, I have to hear it from several different ends, and the people who are upset because they try to offer advice and no one, you know, the person doesn't want to listen. And we're sitting there, and then I catch it all from more than one person because, of course, I'm the host, I'm out there, I know what's going on, and I have to talk to so many hundreds of people, and it becomes a very nasty, vicious cycle. And at some point, we need to know when to let it go and stop it for our own health and welfare because, right. As the old adage goes, misery loves company. And I believe that because it seems like if I'm unhappy, I'm going to do everything, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, to make you unhappy. And it's a sad thing, but I believe that it's in some way it's got something to do with human nature. But, you know, it's good that, you know, we should understand that. We should know when it's time for us to let it go before it affects who we are and our own personal health. So it's okay to know when to say no and walk away for our own sanity and well-being. And for the younger people or anyone who's influenced by the media, understand something that all forms of media, to a degree, is some type of entertainment. But some people enjoy being entertained by watching news and events and current events. Others are entertained by, of course, music and movies and things of that nature. But when it's all said and done, it is still entertainment. And you have to understand how to separate certain things from what you see and or hear in media. Me being someone who has a profession, who was in the media for a long time, I'm more than aware of how productions go. So we need to understand that not everything that we see is how it should actually be or how things really are. So for the younger people, people that are influenced by that, know that everything that you see in a music video is not indicative of who you should become or who you are. As far as, Melissa, now people getting away, again, they need to understand that they may need to let go of some of their material items in their lifestyle. They'll have to make drastic lifestyle changes for them to be able to break away and get out of that abusive relationship. That's pretty accurate, correct?
Correct. If they want the inner peace and the inner healing, they got to be willing to take the necessary steps to make it happen. And that could, and a lot of times, will include leaving that lifestyle that they may be really comfortable with, you know, because of the material things that it provides to them.
And they need to understand that. And we can't stress it enough that sometimes you have to let it all go. And once you do that, then you'll be able to move on. But you have to let it go. And you'll get it again if it's meant for them to have it. They will get it again.
That's right. And sometimes double. You know, it's just being willing to step out of that fear and just let it all go and just trust the process and know that it will work. You'll be the best step you ever made.
Right. And then there's nothing better than having your own. You know, if you're with someone who's mistreated you and they've enabled you, but they provided you with shelter and a car and this and that, if you walk away and get it yourself, you will have a better sense of everything because it's yours. You worked for it. You got it on your own. It's yours, and no one can take it away or put it over your head and use it against you to keep you at bay in any way because it's yours. And that's probably another show within itself next time you come back, and I'd love to have you back, of course. You know, we can get into deeper into more ways that I always do this thing called What's Your Ugly, which it's an acronym, and it actually stands for You Gotta Love Yourself. And it's how people deal with their ugly, which most people are like, ugly. You know, I'm like, no, let me hear me out. It's really the positive aspect of it. How do you love yourself? What do you do to love yourself? And I'm thinking that, you know, if you'd like, I'd love to have you come back. And we could talk about a show dedicated to ways that people need to learn how to love themselves. Because, as I said in the last verse that I had read from your book, is that, you know, people need to learn how to love themselves, or you need to learn how to love you. And most people don't do that. So
most people don't know what that looks like, and that's part of inner healing. Once you learn to love yourself, you're not going to look outside for something that you know you already got all within you.
Right. Right, and that's the part that so many people don't understand. And even, again, as I said earlier, for me, there are days when I wake up and I look in the mirror and I don't love me. I don't like me. Matter of fact, some days I fight with the fact that I'm to the point where I can actually say that I hate me. And, you know, once I get to the point where I'm saying that I hate me, that could lead down a road where there's no return. So one of the things that I enjoy about, even though this is my show, you know, I enjoy doing this show because it helps me so much to talk to people like you who share your stories and some things I can relate to, or I can get advice from you and ideas that I did not think of or overlooked myself. And you help so many of our listeners. You know, with your ideas tonight alone, I'm sure that they have picked up on something and you've helped someone. And I want to thank you again. We have about 3 minutes remaining in our show. Again, we've been here with Melissa Bass, author of Change is an Inside Job. She's an expert abuse coach. And, Melissa, I want to thank you again for coming on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. We would love to have you back again as our guest to continue this conversation, because I'm sure that you hear it every day and you meet new people who are hurting and need that guidance. And I thank you so much for writing such a wonderful book and for coming on our show to share your story and your insight with us. Again, words can't describe how blessed I feel that you took that leap of faith to contact me to be on the show. And I want to thank you again for being here.
Okay, thank you, Maria, and I would love to come back, and thank you for doing what you do. Because you put a face on abuse, and it helps people to know that it's okay to tell their story, and it also helps people to see that they're not alone.
Yes, they're not alone, and trust me, it took a long time for me to admit that I'm now a statistic, and, you know, I had to do it for myself, so thank you again, and I look forward to having you back on our show. We have about 1 minute left in our show. Again, this has been Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio with our special guest tonight, Ms. Melissa Bass, author of Change is an Inside Job. She's an expert abuse coach. And, Melissa, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to having you back again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, I'm your host, Maria Wall. We will be back in 2 weeks. I will be taking some time off to recuperate and heal myself. And if you all have any questions, of course, you can give us a call, 443-865-4211, or write to us at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org. If you have any questions for Melissa, of course, you can email me. I'll be sure to get them to her. Again, thank you all for listening to us tonight on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Melissa, we will see you again soon. And to our listeners, thank you again, and remember, you do have a voice, and you have a place where you can heal through your hurt. I'm your host, Maria Wald, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks with another exciting set of shows. Thank you again, and you all have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Melissa. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.